It's time for another round of business idea giveaways, this time with an AI-assisted theme to them. We've got 15 at least of these to go through, and to help me out, he's no stranger to the Side Hustle Show, longtime listener, serial side hustler from doyouevenblog.com and codeplaybook.com, Pete McPherson. Welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate you having me on again.
You bet. So you were just last on only a few months ago, episode 659, if you want to go back in the archives and check that out. There was a lot of interest around that because you were talking about using AI to build software, sometimes recurring revenue software, the holy grail of side hustles.
That's right.
And so episode 659, if you want to go check that one out, we talked a little bit about idea generation in that episode, but today we figured we'd just open up the brainstorming wish list here and just throw out some ideas. And so I want to tee this up with an idea that is kind of been at the top of my mind, and I want to get your take on how feasible this would be. And so I'm calling this kind of the content curator tool, for lack of a better word, because every week, me and my assistant, we spend some time looking for interesting side hustle stories. And we include those in our newsletter at the bottom, like, hey, we found this. You might also be interested in this. Oh, so-and-so made, you know, $5,000 last month selling ice cream at community events. They're like, oh, okay, I didn't know you could do that. Like, just random little side hustle stories like that. So one, could you build a curated newsletter and you train it on your own voice? Like, I'm still big on like the newsletter model, but the curation part is time consuming, especially if you got to recreate it every single day. The second use case that I see would be like, okay, could you create a summary of 10 of these that you find every week and build me an outline that I could use for an episode, right? And so that would be a very specific use case. But I think you could do this in just about any industry, hobby, niche, like in the car business. Everybody in the car business subscribes to automotive news. So could you create a digital automotive news that, you know, had a unique voice, had a unique perspective? We've talked to local curators who, you know, talking about community events in their local hometown. There's a lot of work that goes into building something like that. I'm wondering if there's a way to scrape, for lack of a better word, but like somehow automate that curation process.
Yes. Well, there's always a way, period. The question is it viable or not? I would argue this is a great idea. The first thing that popped in my head were these old RSS feed conglomerators. I can't even remember the names of them. Feedburner, and there was a handful of others. A lot of these things stopped working or closed down. I don't know if you remember this, like probably maybe 6 years ago, 8 years ago or something.
Yeah, like Feedly was one that I used.
I remember people complaining, like, are you kidding? I use this every day.
Yeah, Google Reader. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be totally viable to be able to input certain sources. Maybe it's like a creator you already follow. Maybe they have a blog. Maybe they have a YouTube channel. Maybe they have social media. It would be cool if you could put in any channel like that, or even their email address. There are ways to just like create a fake email address for your app, receive that email, and then automatically do something with it. So yeah, I think it'd be cool to create this like conglomerator with a bunch of different sources and then fine tune with AI probably some different prompts that'll like format it into what you want to see, have it emailed to you daily or weekly to like comb through. I think that's totally viable.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea too. Like, I think that's actually viable for financial gains, not just like, can you make it? I think that's good.
Yeah. It could be a consumer facing thing. Like, could you send, you know, do the formatting and send that out to people? Like, here are the coolest articles we found about gardening or parenting or whatever this week. You know, put your own unique spin on it or whatever. And it could be an internal tool as well to help guide, you know, future episode content and stuff. Hey,
totally.
You get a load of these top 10 side hustles of the week that you never heard of. Boom, 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 boom. I think that would be fun.
Would you like to hear a really somewhat similar idea, actually, that's on my list?
Let's hear it.
I initially called this, I have a feeling we're going to release a bunch of really crappy names, by the way, because it's just ideas. So I named this Content Bank. This was originally an idea for creators like us, podcasters or YouTubers or marketers or whatever. Originally, it's not anymore. I'm going to read what I wrote and then I'm going to read my new idea. I wrote down a searchable database of all of your content aggregated across all of your channels, social, email, YouTube, blog, podcast, everything. Just a database, links to everything, maybe even like a little AI summary of a piece of content. And here's the thing, and here's what triggered this, a new idea, searchable. And the more I think about this, I actually think a cool side hustle app would be search on steroids. As in, what if you had your own search bar that you could specify where it searches? So I'll just give you a really personal example. I would use this all the time. I'm pretty sure I would use this like 3 times an hour if I had it. A search bar that would search my Google Drive, my Facebook account, my Obsidian. Obsidian's like my note-taking app on my computer, my calendar, and Apple Reminders. That's all I want. Like, I don't want it to search anything else, but if I could have a tool that I just search for something and it searches all of those things and gives me results, I would pay handsomely for this, Nick. What do you think?
I guess I don't see myself using that.
Oh, really?
Well, here's the use case for me. I'll get emails from listeners and be like, do you remember the episode where you talked to so-and-so and she had a business, you know, and they're trying to find, and it's like, usually that triggers enough, like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. I think you're thinking of this person or this episode. And so I can kind of go through my own mental database for that. But I often joke that I wish my house was as easily searchable as Gmail. Like, where do we put the keys? Where can we find the kid's sweatshirt? You know, so there is there is something valuable in search, but I don't know if I have, maybe I don't have that much, that big of a library or like that big of a problem finding stuff.
I definitely do. I would use this all the time. Also, why can't you search your house like that?
The big fail. So we registered like our kids' emails, you know, when they were born, like, you know, first name, last name at gmail.com. Cannot for the life of us figure out where we put the password. Like, it was pre-recovery account, you know, set up a backup, like none of that. And so they're like, I forgot my password, Google. And Google's like, well, what was the last password you remember? And you're like, no, you don't understand. We don't remember any of them. And so it's like unrecoverable.
Yeah. What if you could build an app that could search your house? Like, you have Blink cameras these days, outside and inside. I have 3 personally, mostly outside, just security cameras or whatnot. I know there's a way to tie into that. And I watched a couple of YouTube videos months ago, like 6 months ago, of people coding searching live video or almost live, as in like the AI was analyzing the video like once a second or so.
Okay.
And you could say like, where's the red ball? And it would show you the red ball.
Wow.
Like, this was 6 months ago. Okay, technology. Okay. You could probably build something that could search your keys.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So Content Bank is for creators who've been in the game for a long time. They've got a huge body of work that they want to be able to find specific documents or specific clips or something like that.
Multi-channel. It has to search blog, email, YouTube, that stuff.
One thing we do is, like, in creating clip shows, is searching transcripts for specific, like we did this on the recent Burnout episode. I need to find the episodes where people are specifically talking about how they felt burnout, how they dealt with it, how they overcame that. And so trying to find those specific clips, but those transcripts are all in Google Drive. So it's like a one channel search.
Still a good idea, though. You want me to go again, or you got one?
I got one. This actually comes from my wife, who does photography as a side hustle. And I was like, well, what would be on your wish list of an app? And she's like, I want to know the angle of the sun for like lighting purposes for photography based on a Google Map location or a Google Earth location. I want to go here, and I want to figure out at 6 o'clock, is it better to show up at 6 o'clock? Is it better to show up at 8 o'clock, right? Where's the angle of the sun? And I feel like this is got to be totally viable based on whatever, just historic atmospheric data, or, you know, astronomical data.
Astronomical data. I have no idea. I'll tell you what, instead of commenting whether I would use that, because I wouldn't have any need for it, I was totally picturing in my head, first of all, I think you could mostly ignore Google Maps. I think there are actually APIs, which, if you want me to break down what an API is, I'm totally willing to, or I'll just skip it for now. I think there are APIs out there by third-party companies you and I have never heard of. You probably do some Googling and discover a lot of that data is readily available. It's not in an app form. It's not like your wife could like choose on a map, like, I am here and it's 7:30 a.m. on a Tuesday, July, whatever. Like that, yeah, you could build around that. But I think that data would actually be really easy to find. That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Basically, you know, latitude, longitude, and then you'd add the, you know, interface mm-hmm. layer on top of it to make it usable.
Also, I'll just continue brainstorming ideas here. One thing that would take that the extra mile for me, I could see doing, is when in the next 5 days is it going to be best to shoot? Let's say you had that option. It'd be like, no, Tuesday is actually stormy, cloudy, or whatever. But it could say, hey, Wednesday, it's supposed to be partly cloudy with a late sunset at 9:27 p.m. And that light would be perfect or something like that.
Yeah. All right. What else you got?
All right. Let's stick with this theme of readily available data, because I know for my next idea here, the data's out there. Somebody just has to like finesse it. So I call this voice to KCAL. This has been on my idea list for like a year and a half. I love calorie tracking until I hate calorie tracking what I eat. There are apps that do it really well, but you're like searching for your food exactly, and then there's serving size, and then it's so on and so on and so on. Like, it's kind of cool. And then you do it for like four meals and you're like, wow, this is a massive pain.
Yeah, I've used MyFitnessPal like off and on for years. And the reason it's off and on is because it's tedious.
It's such a hassle. So first of all, $1 billion idea would be to make that 10 times easier, however you can. That's just my $1 billion idea.
Have you seen the ones that do, like, you're just supposed to take a picture of your plate and it somehow knows what that food is and it, you know, gives you an estimate?
Yes.
Okay.
Great idea. I actually think that's way harder than what I'm about to say. Mine's like an in-between. It's not as useful as that, but it's more useful than typing it in. I would like to just talk at the app and say, like, I just had a Culver's Double Deluxe Butter Burger, which is amazing, by the way. The best fast food burger you can buy.
Your entire day's allotment of calories in one sitting.
Oh my God, it's so much. I don't even know how many, but it's a lot. And I just had fries and a large Coke Zero. I just want to say that. Literally hit the record button, say that. The app will transcribe it. It'll send it to AI for some formatting, some structuring, which is actually really simple to do. Like, it'll break it down into, okay, meal object one, burger. The name of it, Culver's Double Deluxe, or whatever that is. And then query that same database that MyFitnessPal is.
Yep.
Like, how many calories is that? I know that data is out there. I think the easiest version of this side hustle, I think the picture thing is actually better. But actually, I could be wrong, but I actually feel like that's way harder. I don't know. I just want to talk to it. I just want to record for 20 seconds, say my entire meal, say I had two servings of this or three servings of this, and then boom, calories.
No, I like it. And then the exit plan, obviously, that would be a great acquisition target for a MyFitnessPal, which I think is owned by Under Armour. So there's definitely some players out there in this space who would be, you would think they would want to add this to their tech stack.
Yeah, I would hope so. They better, else I'm not going to use their app anymore.
More with Pete in just a moment, including a couple quick ways to validate demand for your product idea, plus lots more AI ideas to spark your creative energy coming up right after this. Here's a little bit of side hustle trivia for you. Did you know that our partner Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S.? Everything from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to dozens of side hustle show guests you've heard from right on this show. And there's strength in those numbers. Ever notice that purple Shop Pay button when you're shopping online? That's a telltale sign that a store is powered by Shopify, and just one of the reasons Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Shopify makes it easy to sell online with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates, inventory management tools, payment processing, analytics, and powerful marketing and email tools built right in so you can find and keep more customers. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/sidehustle. Go to shopify.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's shopify.com/sidehustle. Hey, you've reached Nick at Side Hustle Nation. Sorry, I'm unable to take your call right now, but if you leave a message, if that's what your customers are hearing, you're leaving money on the table. You fought hard for those leads. You need a phone system that keeps up and helps you stay connected 24/7. That's why I'm excited to partner with OpenPhone for this episode. OpenPhone is the number one business phone system that streamlines and scales your customer communications. It works through an app on your phone or computer, so no need for a second phone or a landline. And here's what's really cool. With OpenPhone, your team can share one number and collaborate on customer calls and texts, just like a shared inbox. That way, any teammate can pick up right where the last person left off, keeping response times faster than ever. See for yourself why over 60,000 businesses trust OpenPhone. And right now, OpenPhone is offering Side Hustle Show listeners 20% off for your first 6 months at openphone.com/sidehustle. That's openphone.com/sidehustle. And if you have existing numbers with another service, OpenPhone will port them over at no extra charge. OpenPhone, no missed calls, no missed customers. I want to talk real quick about demand validation. It's like we're just throwing out ideas like from personal pain points, which I think is a great place to start. But another angle that you can use if you're like more analytical, I want to see if like there's anybody actually looking for this. One tool you could use is Ahrefs, but I imagine any keyword research tool would probably have similar functionality. You could plug in one of the AI tool directories. I use Matt Wolf's futuretools.io for this example. And then you want to look for their organic keyword footprint. Like where are they getting traffic from? And I looked for keywords that started with AI in this case. And some of the stuff that comes up that they're already ranking for, that you know there's demand for, because there's like a certain search volume around this, was AI portrait generator, which I thought was kind of interesting. You've seen people do pet portraits inspired, make my dog look like a Renaissance era so-and-so. It's like, okay, that's a thing. AI recipe generator had 2,000 monthly searches. AI symptom checker, which you can't imagine anyway that would go wrong, but 1,500 searches for that. A couple of interesting ones were AI Minecraft skin generator with 500 searches a month and a keyword difficulty of 7, meaning not very difficult. That's on a scale from 0 to 100. AI prayer generator, 400 monthly searches with a KD keyword difficulty of 0. Could you use AI to start generating prayers for people? I thought that was fantastic. And then the AI face combiner and then there are actually a lot of variations of kind of like a face mesh type of keyword, people looking for that kind of tool. But 250 searches specifically for the face combiner tool, I guess, to maybe see what your future kid might look like. I don't know what would be the use case of combining faces, but people are looking for it.
That's interesting.
And then another method that you can look for, and absolutely free, without paying for Ahrefs or another tool, is just to look for on Reddit, is there an app that, in quotes, is there a tool that, is there, or, looking for an app, blank, and those types of keywords, people will be like typing in, and you maybe see something exists, or you might have other people chiming in, oh, I totally wish that existed, or alternative to blank, alternative to Canva, alternative to Ahrefs, alternative to ConvertKit, stuff like that. So you see people teeing up those types of things as a way to, validate demand. Like, well, it's not just in my head. Other people are looking for this too.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What's next on your list?
Okay. I got a fun one. I don't know if this is in demand per se, but I would try it as a parent, and maybe you would too. I'm calling this Chore Forge, F-O-R-G-E, Chore Forge.
Okay.
And this would be a game for families, presumably people with kids. And I would like to turn household chores into a like productivity game. That's it. Like, we each have our own little user account and avatar, and it's cute and it's cartoony. And we, the parents, can customize the chores, obviously, that we do, that our children do, etc., and customize the rewards, charts, points, leveling up. You know what I mean? Like some sort of productivity game, but based on familial chores, where each person can be competing against each other. My daughter and my son could be competing. It's just a random idea.
Okay. I would love kids versus parents. Like when we pit the kids against each other, it's like a recipe for heartache and sadness. But if they're competing against the parents, they're all in.
I like that too. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Okay. So you're like, okay, earn 5 points, take out the trash, empty the dishwasher, earn 10 points, like stuff like that.
Yeah. And not only that, I'll tell you, my kids personally, and probably everybody else's, they love cute creatures. It kind of reminds me of the old Tamagotchi. Do you remember those things?
Sure.
Yeah, little Tamagotchi toys from the 90s. If they could start as like a small cat, a kitten, or a small dog, or a raccoon, or a horse, or literally anything, and if they could see their character progressing leveling up.
Oh, yeah. It's all about leveling up.
2.5 weeks left, 100 points, and then your character levels up. If they see that happen, they're locked in.
Yes.
I will probably never have to tell them to do this ever again.
Yeah, it's like the evolution of your Pokemon.
Yeah, they're like, what other chores can I do right now? I want to see my character level up, right? Yeah, Chore Forge.
I think this could actually be big. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next on my list? Well, this is actually one I've been trying to build in Claude, and it is the podcast transcript editor suggester thing, right? Where I record for 60 minutes. Like, I want to trim the bottom 10% of this episode where it was just, you know, it got boring, it got repetitive. Like, that's what I typically do as part of my editing process. And historically, that's been a manual review of, you know, reviewing the transcript and saying, okay, here's where it kind of went off the rails. This question didn't really land. Okay, I'm going to trim that. And what I've been trying to do is, you know, feed in examples of past, you know, before and after transcripts into Claude and saying, based on the style of the Side Hustle show, here's the next raw recording episode. Can you please provide your editing suggestions and your ad break suggestions? Like, where's a natural break point? And it hasn't quite hit yet where it's like, yes, that's a dialed in process. And it kind of chokes on it because it's like, sometimes these are 20, 30 pages of, you know, if you record an hour of audio, like it's a really long document. I'm having a hard time with that, but that's something that I've been trying to build for my personal use case, and imagine other podcasters might use that as well.
Yeah, we're really close on that. I feel like the past 6 or 7 months, AI models continue to get better. We know this. The context windows continue to get larger. Now it's 1 million tokens on some of these models or whatnot. I think within even a couple of months, we're going to see a new round of context windows. And right now, like that hour podcast and that transcript that's like 30 pages, that's like right at the limit where you're starting to overload the models. I think 3 months from now, it's not going to be a deal anymore. I think you'll be able to just be like, here's literally 500,000 words from this podcast. Tell me this exact thing. And I think that'll be better.
Yeah. Give me the best 80% of it. Give me the best 90%. Maybe there's like a sliding spectrum on, you know, what you want the suggestions to be. And of course I wouldn't just hand that off to the editor and say, go. It's like, you're still going to have a manual review process, but the hope is it would speed up that process a little bit.
Totally. You want to stick on podcasting for a moment?
Sure.
Here's what I hate about podcasting. I love podcasting. I've done 400 interviews, like whatever. What I stink at is following up with my guest to like give them some marketing materials. And here's a Google Drive with some share images and some, copywriting for Facebook or Instagram or whatever. I hate that. And I hate sending those emails. Like, I never do that stuff because I'm lazy.
No, me neither.
Can AI do that for me? Right? So a lot of these AI podcasting tools are focused on editing, and rightfully so. That's another huge time suck, by the way. And maybe a little bit of marketing, like show notes or timestamps or stuff like that. That's all well and good. I feel like there's not as much that will automatically take my transcript and email my guest with stuff that they could use. I haven't seen a whole lot of that, at least. So I think there's an idea there.
Yeah, here's a handful of clips that, you know, were auto-generated in Riverside. And here, yeah, there could be something to that, because it's, I never do that. And it's like, sometimes it's 2 or 3 days later, like, shoot, I forgot to send you a message. Your episode went live on Thursday. And yep. Thanks again for joining me. But that's usually the extent of it. Like, I don't typically ask or bank on anybody sharing it. And it's like, when they do, it's like a bonus.
And let's be really clear here, Nick. Nick did not actually send me that message after our last podcast interview a couple of months ago. I don't remember seeing it. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you can vouch for that. Like, it doesn't happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Nick needs this. Somebody create it. You may get another one, a different category, or you got another one?
I've got one that is top of mind lately, and I'm calling this scam detector.
Oh.
So sometimes you get text messages and it'll say, you have unpaid parking tickets in the city of Seattle and we're going to revoke your license. And it's like from a, you know, click here and it's like a .ru domain. And you're like, okay, it's very clearly a scam. I'm going to delete this. I'm going to ignore it. But sometimes the line is a little bit more blurred. Like, I got this IRS letter the other day and it was about a return from 4 years ago. I'm like, is this legit? Like, it looks legit. And I sent it to my accountant and he was like, yeah, that's legit. But I was like, is this an IRS scam? You know, it was just a weird thing. And a couple Thanksgivings ago, I had a really, really convincing crypto ransomware scam. And it was from, you know, an email from me. And so like, there somehow it was like a phishing attack, like from, it looked like it was spoofed from my email account. We've hacked your system. we're going to destroy your reputation. We're going to do blah, blah, blah. And we demand this $3,000 Bitcoin transfer to this wallet address. And I spent like all night, like trying to lock down all my stuff, like two-factor, change the passwords. You know, with the tech team, we couldn't find any evidence of a breach anywhere, but it was like, there's no way I'm going to sleep with this going on. Yeah. And it was like, finally realized just basically by copying and pasting, like this is, you know, a scam that hundreds of people had received. But it was like, it looked to me, you know, having never received something like that before, it looked super legit and it definitely had me stressed out. So Scam Detector is the tool that you can kind of crowdsource that kind of wisdom and protect yourself.
Yeah. Let me throw out a knowledge nugget. So first of all, that's $1 billion idea for sure. I think as people get older and AI gets better, and then my mother 2 years from now, or even really now, but especially like 2 years from now, my mother could receive a phone call from an AI Pete that sounds exactly like me asking for money.
Yeah.
And probably even from my cell phone number, I'm guessing. So yeah, I think that's actually $1 billion idea. Here's my nugget of wisdom though. For all the things we've said, I'm going to drop back from the ideas just for a second. Bird's eye view. For all of these ideas, I can get lost in a little bit of overwhelm, like, oh my gosh, yeah. And I need to check spam text messages and spam emails and spam calls and spam AI and spam this, that. I think there's a version of every single one of these ideas that can be done in a weekend. Maybe you just start with spam text, for example, or maybe you just start with this one little core feature, this one simplest version of that. I just wanted to remind everybody in the ether.
Or how about you only specialize in those class action lawsuit claims where you get this like sketchy looking postcard and it's like, go to this, you know, 20 word long domain, you know, to submit your claim. And you're like, is this real? Because of course I could ask for your personal information to, you know, pay you out if this eventually, you know, settles. And you're like, dude, is this for real? Is it even worth the, you know, $30 I might get from this to submit this information?
Yeah. That's also just a content business right there, like a blog or a podcast, like preventing spam or helping elderly parents, especially in my case. I think about this all the time because my mom and dad are like, hey, did you see this thing? And I'm like, that's somebody from Russia on their laptop right now, like trying to spam you.
No, this is for real, especially with, you know, you and I, somebody with hundreds of hours of their voice on the internet. It's definitely a conversation we've had to have with mom and dad.
Yeah. Okay. I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this next idea I love because I think everybody listening to this could find a network that they are already tapped into. Maybe you are an accountant and you know accountants. Maybe you are a teacher, a yoga instructor, and you know yoga instructors, so on and so forth, right? I think this idea anybody could use and customize to some network of people they have access to. So the network I'm going to use is teachers, because my wife is a teacher and a lot of her family are teachers and my mom was in education, and I've been around teachers my entire life. And teachers, like everybody else in this world, send an absurd amount of email. I did as an accountant too. I worked at spreadsheets, but I sent 10 emails an hour as an accountant. It's kind of weird. A lot of those emails look exactly alike. And so I talked to my wife about this like 6 months ago. I was like, can I actually just build you some email templates? Because she emails her students for the same spring concert every single May, and it's exactly the same, except for like two or three tiny details. And I was like, I could build this template for you. And then this time next year, you could just hit a button, customize the few details, and it sends it out to your current students with the right day and the right time and the right whatever. So it's a simple idea, right? Email templates, been around forever. But I think now more than ever, it's easy to target yoga instructors, chess players, pickleball people, I don't know, any network that you might have, probably send a specific type of email, especially like career people, right? Profession-based people. Offer them email templates, and I think there's a good side hustle cash there.
Okay, so this would be, what do they call it in Gmail? Like a custom response? There's something built in to Gmail, like for, you can save certain templates, but like this on steroids and dialed into a specific industry.
You know, it'd be interesting. I just thought about this. I wonder if I could hook up an AI app to my wife's inbox. They use Google Drive or Workplace or whatever it's called these days. I wonder if I could like scan the last 100 emails she sent out and create three templates based on that. Like, oh, I see that you send this almost exact same email. Boom, 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 boom. And they're like, recommend a template. I bet that's possible. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Cool. Another one that you had on your list was the broken link checker, but for YouTube channels, which I thought was really interesting because there's a dozen tools and plugins that will do this for WordPress and, you know, scrapes your, or crawls your site and tests all these links. And
yeah,
you get back this big report of like, here's hundreds of broken links that now you have to go fix. It would be great if it could actually fix them for you. Maybe that's level two. But you say, why isn't there anything that, that will do this for your YouTube descriptions, stuff like that?
I pay for this, by the way. I've gotten videos taken down, actually three in the past couple of months, just because there was a broken link. And YouTube was like, I think this is spam content. You can click here to, you know, fight this accusation or whatever it is. Yeah, I would love a tool where I can just connect my YouTube channel, scans all my videos, and then tells me to update this, update that, checks for broken links, and that sort of stuff, for sure.
I will admit that I haven't done a ton of research and searching around this, but what I would love to see is the travel rewards points redemption optimizer type of tool where you can punch in, hey, I've got 200,000 Chase Ultimate Rewards. We've got another 100,000 on Delta, another 100,000 on United. Where can we go? Right? It's kind of open-ended. And maybe you give it some constraints. Like, I want to take family of four. We want to go over spring break, which is these dates, plus or minus a week. And, you know, other than that, we're fairly destination agnostic. You know, what's the best redemption? And so far, I've been playing around with points. Yeah. Which is okay. It's an interesting one where you can kind of do some of those types of searches, but it's still really tedious. And it would be cool to have some custom curated recommendations based on your points balance and what you could get for those.
Totally. I've used points.me several times, but it's kind of tedious. It's kind of a pain. And you have to be like really specific in your search. Oh, we're searching this airline or this date and this destination and that sort of stuff. And then it tells you the good part. Like, oh, yeah, you could use these rewards.
Yeah, which I understand on the back end of that, like there's a lot of data and combinations and, well, you want this airport or this airport. Like there's a lot of moving parts that goes into that, which is probably why it's so tedious.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
More AI-assisted product ideas with Pete coming up, including Sticky Task, a virtual boss for solopreneurs, and even an AI mastermind. Coming up right after this. Before this commercial is over, another 23 entrepreneurs are going to find their next team member on Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. When you need to find amazing candidates fast, you need the powerful matching tech and unmatched reach of our sponsor, Indeed. Plus, Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire even faster. It'll make your post jump to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. And the proof is in the results. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed get 45% more applications. That's why for my next hire, I'm using Indeed and joining the 3.5 million other employers already on board. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. Summer is the season of backyard barbecues, hanging out at the lake, epic family road trips. But when the temperature rises, you don't want to be sweating over your wireless bill. That's why I made the switch to our partner Mint Mobile in 2019 and haven't looked back. Here's what's great about Mint. Simple, affordable, premium wireless service without surprises and unexpected overages. All Mint plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network. The switch was easy. I was able to bring my own phone and keep my old phone number and all my existing contacts. So join me in ditching overpriced wireless and get 3 months of unlimited service for just $15 a month. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/side hustle. That's mintmobile.com/side hustle. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 per month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Here's a really easy one. I don't think anybody's going to make a ton of money with this one. And it might already exist. You tell me. But I'm calling this Sticky Task. This is a Chrome extension where, almost like a sticky note, you write down your most important three-ish to-do items, and it stays visible across all of your tabs. You Alt-Tab, you go to the next tab, you open up a new tab or whatever, and you can still see your three to-do list items sitting right there in the corner or whatever. This has to exist in some format.
Yeah, that seems really simple. If it doesn't, I hope somebody builds that, because keep you focused.
Bonus points if you wanted to make it more advanced. This might not exist. It could integrate with your tools. Apple Reminders, Trello, Todoist, Notion, or something else. Like, you could have it scan your to-do list app of choice and then have your things right there. I think that'd be cool.
I think that would be cool. Would you charge for that? What do you see as the... This is something we haven't talked about in the whole episode. It's like, well, how would you monetize that?
You know what I thought about an hour ago before we started recording? I feel like a side hustle idea is this. This is going off topic just a little bit. You tell me if you want me to be quiet. Brian Harris from Growth Tools had this realization a couple of years ago. Software is becoming easier, and so maybe we should make it free. Maybe you could make some sort of app that people pay $29 a month for, like literally just clone it, like duplicate it. You could do that these days pretty easily, but make it $0, absolutely free. And the idea is, hopefully, you can get more people in your funnel. This would now be the top of funnel activity, and you could do services or even online courses or memberships or any other monetization strategy on the bottom end of the funnel. Again, that's not my brand new idea, but I feel like with AI coding, it's easier and faster than ever to create the next Calendly. Let's just say Calendly, right? The scheduling manager, whatever. Create Calendly, but 100% for free. And then see if that can grow your audience, your email list, for example. And then you can do other stuff on the back end to make more money. I know that's a little different, a little off topic, but I feel like that's a viable strategy.
It is. And this could be really disruptive because historically, you know, last generation software companies, Microsoft, Oracle, you know, some of these software companies, some of the most profitable in the world, right? Because it's like digital product, you know, very low incremental cost of serving that extra customer. But if software has this constant downward pressure on price, as people build alternatives, side hustlers build their own apps, then I don't need to pay for this anymore, I'll build my own. Then what happens? And, you know, how else do we make money? It's like a weird, what else, you know, if we're going to use Brian's model, well, maybe it's just a lead generator, right? Get people into my ecosystem, get people into my world,
yeah.
Which totally viable.
For sure.
Right? But then you got to figure out the back end. You got to figure out, well, what is it that these people really want and value that I can help them with?
For sure. What else we got?
So this was not an AI, but it kind of, your sticky task kind of reminded me of it. I came across this service. It was called Boss as a Service. And it was basically for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, solo service providers, where it's like, the grass is always greener. You know, I want to be my own boss. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. But then you sit down on day one, you're like, dang, I'm not really sure what I should do. So you need this boss as a service where it helps you, basically somebody looking over your shoulder. It could be a virtual mentor, somebody you check in with, somebody for accountability. But it was this service that was like, hey, you know, keeping on top of you on your tasks, your to-do list. And so similar to this sticky task type of thing, you know, this remote boss. And it could even be a virtual type of thing right now. I think there's probably more power in having to be an actual human. It's like, well, shove off, robot. Like, who are you to tell me what to do? But there might be something to having a virtual remote boss, virtual AI boss keep you on task.
I literally have that on my list. That's on my thing. It's not called that specifically, but in my head, that's the function it was. I'm seeing if I can find it. I think I called it, I got it right here. It's not the name, it's horrible. I called it Daily AI Manager Thingy.
Okay, patent pending.
Right, exactly. Copyright 2025. In my head, I was thinking some AI that has all of the context. My goals, my life, my work, my projects, and that sort of stuff. I feed it all of that information, and it has access to my to-do list. Maybe it's Notion, maybe it's Todoist, maybe it's Trello, whatever, right? And every morning, it sends me an email or a text or a call, for that matter. You could do this via AI voice these days. It calls me to be like, hey, you got this thing coming up that you said you wanted to do, and don't forget you have a call with Nick at 2 p.m., but you're going to be busy after that with your other friend doing this. So you really need to prioritize this today during these hours or whatever. So it's kind of the same idea, right? Like this boss who's just making sure you're doing the right things. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that definitely seems like something that could be built, could be fairly automated, especially if it could read into the context of your business. And hey, these are your top priorities. These are what you said were going to be your top priorities. Here's some deadlines you got coming up.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool. Have you heard of, I think it's called My Body Tutor. We talked about MyFitnessPal, but this is like a different one.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a service where for hundreds of dollars a month, basically they will check in with you. You'll do your meal tracking,
yeah,
and then they'll check in with you 3 times a week, you know, by text message, I think. Are you on track for your goals? And that's all it is. It's just accountability. But it's like that, the power of having somebody look over your shoulder, all of a sudden you stop eating ice cream and cookies and stuff. It's like just that extra little insight. And it's like, I think it's going to have to be human or have some human element to it, but maybe it's worth experimenting.
Yeah.
If a robot could have the same role.
This is also on my list, not for fitness related goals, but for entrepreneur and creative related goals. So I ran this program for 1 month called Most Productive Month Ever, MPME. And I basically asked people, what are your goals for this 1 month? Just 1 month, 30 days. And how often can I book you? Once a day, 3 times a week, etc. And so people submitted their stuff. I heard their goals. And then I just called them 3 times a week or 5 times a week and say, hey, how's it going? Did you do what you said you were going to do? That's it. And people paid for it. And the first time I did this as like a challenge sort of thing, right? The first time I did this, the only product I've ever done with a 100% success rate. And so on my list, on my like SaaS company ideas list, I thought maybe I could automate this entire thing, but I'm with you. I think that needs a little bit of a human touch because no one cares about offending a robot, right? Like it's not the same level of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the scratch your own itch thing, I think I could automate a lot of the parts of the process, but still have like a human touch somewhere on the back end. Anyway, I'm rambling now, but yeah, it's a good idea for sure.
No, this is good. Did you build at one point an LMS or a course hosting software?
I did.
Is it not live anymore?
Oh, it was an awful experience. The product was great. I stand by what I built and it works and it's fine. However, I was not prepared for people actually implementing what I built. It's complicated. I don't want to go into it, but it did not work. And so I shut it down. Yeah.
Okay. The reason I ask is Teachable sent me a note and said, you've been paying us $450 a year, something like that. We're going to jack up your rate to $1,600 a year, effective, you know, next month. And I'm like,
yeah,
whoa, that's not what I signed up for. What's going on? That's like almost quadruple the rate. And they're like, well, we added all these extra features. Like, I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for those. This is what I signed up for. And so they're like, well, we'll make it, you know, we'll throw you a bone. We'll make it half off. That's still double. That's still double what you're charging. So I feel like these software companies could do themselves a favor by, you know, reading about the frog in the boiling water, right? Just bump it up 10% a year. I'm not even going to notice, right? But instead they go for this huge rate, which all of a sudden has me shopping alternatives, asking Pete if like, hey, can I buy your thing instead? Like there's been putting the word out for Teachable alternatives. It's like, this is not core to the business. And all of a sudden you made it a noticeable line item instead of something that was just like, whatever, we pay for it once a year, forget about it. So there's something to that, like building alternatives.
Yes.
And we talked about this in the last episode, unbundling. I don't need all these bells and whistles. Just make it something simple. Maybe there's something to that.
For sure. And if you'll allow me a tiny bit of self-promotion. So Code Playbook was the course that I teach people how to vibe code using AI. I did the same thing. I looked at the page services, the big course providers. I looked at this, I called it Easy Course, like about a year ago. The one I told you a minute ago that failed. I looked into that. That was my own product. And I was like, this kind of sucks. And I ended up building Code Playbook from scratch to be like my own little custom LMS. And also I recorded it. The videos are right there. And you can also like clone it in 5.5 seconds. And I don't say this to say how awesome I am, because it's not perfect, although it is pretty sweet. I don't mind saying, but it didn't take me that long and it was free and I don't pay for it at all. I paid for the domain name, codeplaybook.com. That's the only expense I've had, period. It's deployed for free. It's hosted for free.
Yeah.
I built the LMS or CMS, LMS, learning, LMS. I built the LMS in like maybe like 6 hours of work-ish. And if you wanted to duplicate it today, you could. It'll take 5.5 seconds, and then you'll have to like customize it for your own thing. But it's just mind-boggling that companies are jacking up their rates like this. When there are people like me out here that would be like, no, no, I could do this for free right now. I could sell it for a tenth of your cost. And yeah, massive opportunities for like every industry. Disruption is the word you used earlier. I think we're right there.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I'll keep shopping around, but at least I bought myself a little bit of time there. I have a kid-related one or parenting-related one.
Okay.
I don't have a great name for this, but I'm calling it like, you know, anything but make it baseball. You know, broccoli but make it ice cream. Like the thing they need to learn, but make it something they like. And I think there's a way to format it in such a way, hey, you need to learn about World War II, but put it in context that they're going to understand, you know, Yankees versus Red Sox or something like that.
Oh.
Am I blowing smoke here? Is there something to this?
I think so. You lost me in the first part, but the last analogy started to click. Like, I want my kids to learn about this, but they're really into Minecraft, Sonic the Hedgehog, fishing. Those are my kids, right? So teach them this, but baseball.
Yes, yes. Give it in Minecraft terms. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I would like that. I'd like to see that.
You had another one that was similar, and it was like the 30-day learning journey, or learning roadmap for any skill, which I thought was really cool.
Wait, this is the best name I had, Nick. You didn't even share the name. This is the only one that I named, and I was like, I like this name.
Okay, plug the name.
Tiny Syllabus. Actually, I don't know if that's a great name or not, but it resonated. Yes, I love this idea. I think this is... Well, here, I'll just read it in my notes here. Give it a topic like, I want to learn how to garden. I want to learn how to fish. I want to start a YouTube channel. I want to lose 15 pounds. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then get a 30-day learning journey via email is what I would choose, right? Like, I just want to enter in a topic.
It'd make it a drip email course, basically.
Yeah. One email a day, very short, very specific, but like a curated outline for a course. Like, don't hit me with it all at once, but just tell me one interesting and cool thing to learn each day with links to YouTube videos or AI summaries or articles that would help me. I think this is cool. I actually thought about building this. This is still on my to build list because I don't actually think it'd be that hard. It would rely on AI heavily, yeah, probably. But I think with the latest round of models that can do really good Google searching and what's the right word I'm looking for here? Like scraping Google, scraping YouTube videos.
Okay.
That combined with AI, I think it put together like a really cool thing. 30-day learning journey via email on any topic, period.
Yeah, it seems really viable. It seems really valuable. It seems like you could even use it to build paid products. You could use it to build, you know, free lead gen challenges. There's a lot you could do with that. Like the 30-day, well, like Tiffany Alice, like the 30-day Live Richer Challenge, you know, we're going to drip this out. We did a 30-day money cleanse, was probably similar, but we did a 30-day, you know, side hustle type of challenge, you know, plan, launch, hustle, you know, years and years, like probably 10 years ago, we did this. And maybe you feed it on your own. It's not just completely AI generated, but like if you are a creator, feed it on, you know, your own material and, you know, have it organize that, structure that in a way that makes sense. And they like, look, this is going to be the learning progression and drip that out. You turn that into a paid product.
Yeah, totally. That's a good idea. Well, that's a good, Nick.
There was one more I do want to get your take on, and you called it like the AI roundtable or the mastermind, where you could, you know, give different personas to different members of your virtual mastermind. And a few people mentioned this. We did a kind of AI use case roundup, and a few people mentioned using ChatGPT or using other AI tools as kind of like a sparring partner or a mastermind or almost a silent co-founder in some ways. We're like, what do you think of this idea? Or like, here's the direction of the business. What do you think? And just, you know, using it as a conversation starter or somebody to bounce these ideas off of. And you took it a step further with this virtual mastermind where you could kind of create custom personas here.
Yeah, I was almost hoping you wouldn't bring it up because I literally started building this yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I got the domain. Yeah, it's like halfway done. I think it's a brilliant idea. I do. I am blown away by the people I hear about who use ChatGPT as like a therapist or a friend or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember who I was talking to. I was talking to somebody last week that was like, I remember who it was. I won't mention their name. I take a walk every single night and just talk to ChatGPT for 30 minutes. And I was like, what? Are you serious? That's amazing. That's a little scary on some other levels. But a lot of people are doing this. Even more people will be doing this in the future, I feel like. And for creators and entrepreneurs specifically, I think the mastermind thing, I'll just spoil it for you. So in my own app, I am having customizable personas. You literally name them. You literally give them an avatar image using AI, generated with AI. And you can customize their experience. You can customize the projects they work on. You can customize their style. You can customize their wealth. You can customize that. I think doing that and literally just creating a mastermind group chat is a multi-million dollar idea. I think there's really something there. I don't think mine's going to make that much money, but I think it's great. And not just that for creators and entrepreneurs, but I think this is one of those ideas you could build for teachers. You could build for firefighters. You could build for this person or this person or this person, like this group chat for fill in the blank. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, this was something actually at Ford. They would curate these dealer groups. I think they called them their 20 groups. I don't know if there were 20 members. I don't know why I had that name. But they would take similar sized dealers in different areas of the country where they weren't competing with each other. And they could get together, usually virtually, but I think sometimes in person too, and be like, well, how much are you paying your service manager? Yeah. Or what percentage, you know, gross margin you typically get? Like, how do you do that? Or what was an advertising campaign that really worked for you? And so it was kind of that idea, but bringing it virtually and using AI to do some of that.
Wow.
Do you want me to cut that? Like, if you don't want that out there, right?
No, leave it in. That's fine. I don't care.
Do you have a site for it? Can we promote it?
Okay, I did. And then I purchased a domain name. And then I found a better name. And I sent both of those names to my best friend and said, hey, which one of these names do you like better? And she said, I hate both of them. And so now I don't know what I'm going to name it. So no, I don't have a site yet.
Well, let me know after the fact. And we're happy to plug it in for people listening in the future. So you got Code Playbook. You got this virtual mastermind thing. You got Do You Even Blog. What's next? What's on the radar for the rest of this year?
On the radar for the next this year, I have I'm selling my second company in the past couple of months, so I got one of those offloaded. I got two or three more apps existing that I'm probably going to sell in about a year, and I got one more that I started today, which is a really small one. It's not going to be like an ongoing thing. So yeah, the game plan for the next year is to do more of these ideas that we've talked about, try and build them up using, first and foremost, my existing audience, to be really honest. And then maybe a little bit of paid advertising if I have the profits to spend on that. And then selling them. And then retiring early, Nick. That's what we're here for.
Living that FIRE lifestyle, man.
Trying to.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you joining me. I get a kick out of just brainstorming these ideas and the back and forth and the energy that I get from that. So I really appreciate you stopping by, taking the time to do that. Make sure to subscribe to Pete's newsletter, doyouevenblog.com for that. If you want to learn how to build these apps yourself, codeplaybook.com. We talked a little bit about the nuts and bolts of what it's going to take, the different tools, cursor, and stuff like that to use, and how to prompt them in our previous episode, 659, if you want to go back and listen to that one, Pete's last appearance on the show. You've been listening to The Side Hustle Show. It's your one-stop shop for legit ways to make extra money. Whether you're new to the show or whether you're a longtime listener, I want to invite you to generate your own personalized Side Hustle Show Greatest Hits playlist. Hustle.show is where to go. You answer a few short multiple choice questions. It spits back out 8 to 10 of our recommended greatest hits episode based on your answers, conveniently packaged in a little curated playlist you can add to your device. You can go learn what works. You can make some more money. Again, hustle.show for that. Big thanks to Pete for sharing his insight. Thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. SideHustleNation.com/deals is where to go to claim all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thanks for supporting the advertisers that support the show. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.